From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in today for Vicky Gonzalez. Since the second Trump administration started last year, its tenure has been marked by numerous protests, demonstrations, and rallies. Some of the most notable have been the No Kings protests, a series of nationwide demonstrations voicing opposition to the Trump administration's actions and policies. Two major demonstrations were held last June and October, drawing millions of participants across the U.S. and thousands to local protests across the Sacramento region. Another round of No Kings protests are planned for this Saturday, with thousands of events planned across the country as well. Joining us now are members from two local chapters of Indivisible, one of the activist organizations that helps to organize the protests. Greg Bergantz and Gina Abrams are from Indivisible El Dorado, and Ellen Chapman is from Indivisible Sacramento. Welcome to the three of you to Insight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
What got all of you involved in Indivisible and No Kings to begin with?
As you described, the policies of our regime, primarily main goal is to survive this current administration and do our best to put a stop to all the policies that are actually hurting so many Americans. This No Kings this weekend on Saturday is going to be a massive, peaceful, joyful, and historic occasion. We're looking at 3,100 events across the country, as you said, thousands. We have 32 No Kings events just in the Sacramento region and about 95 in CAP Radio's reach. So we've done a lot of research and we're getting the word out as best we can. We have 14 events scheduled in El Dorado County, one in South Lake Tahoe, and 13 in going from El Dorado Hills all the way up to Placerville on every overpass, the courthouse steps in Placerville, as well as the Lotus Bridge in Coloma. So we're really looking forward to Saturday. We've been preparing for it. We have safety training. We have de-escalation training for anything that can happen. We've alerted law enforcement. It's going to be, like I said, a very peaceful and joyful day.
Was there a particular moment in time where we'll be able to dive into this Saturday a lot more as we continue? But I'm curious to hear if there were a particular moment in time for either of the three of you when you first remember hearing about Indivisible, or if there was a moment in time where you felt that you wanted to get involved with something like a protest movement.
Yes, I can answer that. This is Ellen from Indivisible Sacramento. Our chapter has been going since January of 2017, so right from the beginning. And I've been in it since then, as have actually most of our leadership team. So we're coming up, you know, 9 years, going on 10 years now that we've been working together on this. So the nature of our work has changed a lot. From teaching people how to contact their congressional members to make their voices heard to working on local elections and local other local events. And now with these No Kings rallies, we organized the last two and we're organizing this one at the state capitol. So the role has really changed, but there's been a good core of people who have been there since the first Trump administration.
Has it felt like there has been a marked difference with the second Trump administration in the efforts that you all are putting forth?
Yes, absolutely. And I think you all can concur with that.
Yeah,
Gina? It's definitely.
Yeah, I would say what I find to be the primary goal right now in our work is to really increase engagement, right? And we have the power to increase our local engagement. And the reason that that's important is this is a movement that needs to continue to grow and to be visible. So the whole primary goal in the work that we're doing now is really to attract more people to claim their power when they're facing a government that is not serving them anymore and is actually harming, and to make that increased engagement very visible. And so these kind of events give the opportunity to do that because they get a lot of coverage and they help people engage who are dissatisfied and don't know exactly how they could resist. And this is the opportunity that these actions are giving them.
Yeah. You mentioned engagement, and the three of you are from two different chapters of Indivisible. I'd be curious to learn a bit more about how those chapters tend to interact with each other or coordinate with each other, if they do.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we were very aware of Sacramento's event, and so we timed ours in from El Dorado Hills and Placerville to be early enough where people could also go to Sacramento and make a full day out of this, you know, showing up as much as they wanted to.
And we have lots of opportunities of, you know, there was a, this year there was a California conference where all of the Indivisible leaders got together in Sacramento just to, for things like this, just to coordinate and talk about ideas. And we have weekly meetings with our national leadership where we hear what's going on. So there's a lot of ways that we connect, even though every chapter operates independently in its way, but we definitely work as a coalition.
Yeah, tapping into that regionality, that locality that you were mentioning, what are each of you, you know, Sacramento, El Dorado, hearing from the communities that you're within? What kind of issues are important to those communities, and how does that show up in the organization and the work that you all are doing?
Well, definitely top of mind is immigration. Is definitely we have a lot of people working to support, to be like accompaniment for people who are going into the immigration courts, and we have a lot of people who are protesting. And of course, we also have a big focus on, you know, upcoming elections and you know, canvassing for various candidates, and also for policy issues. We're endorsing CalCare, for example. So if the question is what is our community most concerned with, there's a wide array of things, but I would say that the current attacks on our immigrant communities are very much top of mind for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it is a wide range, but I think what's really at top of mind for people right now is the attack on immigration and the attack on the unconstitutionality of dragging us into a war without congressional approval. So I think it's all, you know, very hard to watch our government use our tax dollars to harm people. And I think that's what we're seeing in two very dramatic ways, attacking our immigrant community, not using due process in a system that is based on that, and then dragging us into a war without congressional approval, which is really denying the people's voice, right? Because our representatives are elected by us to represent us. And when we deny that approval, then we deny what the people want.
Right. It's an illegal war.
There are so many issues. It's a challenge just to really focus on one or two. But immigration, we have a lot of members in El Dorado, Indivisible El Dorado, excuse me, that are involved with NorCal Resist. And they have a section called La Migre, where they specialize in training and knowing their rights. If they run into ICE, if they hear any kind of problem in their area, whistles. I mean, there's so many tactics or strategies to protect people we have several people involved in that. We have an inordinate, I believe, is the word. I'm not sure, but we have so many veterans in El Dorado County, and they all have a stake in the game when it comes to going to war, especially without congressional approval and sending young men to Iran. 82nd Airborne, I believe, is the latest. I don't know how many thousands of troops are on their way or there, but it's very big in the minds of a lot of residents in El Dorado County.
I believe that, you know, El Dorado County is often seen as a bit more of a conservative area in our region.
Agreed.
What sort of reception have these protests and this organization received over the years in that area?
We haven't seen a lot of resistance. There's always some. When we're on overpasses, we get positive vibes. We get honks. We get waves. Sometimes it's the wrong kind of wave.
Yeah, but, a radio way of saying
it. Yeah. Or do you know what coal rolling is? That's also popular, especially in front of the courthouse. That seems to happen every once in a while where people with diesel trucks have them tuned so that they can really gun it and leave a huge black cloud behind their truck as they go by, which we all kind of choke on for a few minutes, but then it clears. You know, as long as there's a good breeze up, we're okay. But not a lot. I mean, we've done so many events in almost, well, they have been weekly for several weeks now, months. And we have very few incidents and very few counter protesters, so we call them. Mm. People that don't quite agree with our motive.
Yeah.
You know, what we notice is that really people like the opportunity to find out that they're not alone. And so even in a conservative district, there are a lot of people who feel the way we feel about the harm that our government is doing. And they're very uplifted and inspired and motivated by coming together and using that collective power to really claim the power of the people.
Yeah. And Ellen, I'd be curious to see the sort of juxtaposition of Sacramento, which is generally a very blue city and area. What kind of impact that you all are looking to have for your demonstration and your organizing work to have in an area that is considered already pretty liberal? What impact are you looking to have in that way?
Well, speaking to the impact that we hope to have for this No Kings, it's a blue voting district, but we're pulling in the people attending are coming from, I would say, maybe coming from El Dorado. We have a wide array of people there. But the thing that we are really hoping to achieve with this No Kings is, as you say, to empower people to understand that they are the ones that are going to make the difference. For example, at our No Kings, we do not have any elected officials speaking this time. We have a candidates' corner where elected officials and candidates will be tabling and talking to potential voters. But all of our speakers are either our community organizers or others who, we have student organizers and people, others who help to organize people to take action. Because at the end of the day, the heroes of the moment, you want to see the heroes of this moment look in the mirror. It's not going to come from on high. The action that we're going to take, we're going to take it ourselves. However much respect and love we may have for our elected officials as public servants, we know that they take their cues from us. So our hope with this event is to really empower people to take action. And to know that if they don't, no one will.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Greg Bergantz and Gina Abrams from Indivisible El Dorado and Ellen Chapman from Indivisible Sacramento about this Saturday's No Kings protest taking place across the region. Looking ahead to Saturday, how will these protests be structured? What will people see?
Yeah, in El Dorado Hills, we have a really interesting structure because we were trying to create a very dynamic event that offers a lot. The inspiration of being with speakers and rallying, you know, with speakers. Also, we have community speakers from NorCal Resist, also the ACLU in Northern California, immigration attorney, a veteran from Veterans for Peace, Doris Matsui in her capacity, and Mai Vang in her capacity as council member. And so that's the first 45 minutes. And then we wanted to give them the power of walking and moving forward together in a community. So the rally is followed by a march through our town center, which is the hub of our community. And then we end on a street that is the busiest road in the county. So then adding the visibility factor of being able to do it all, rally, march, and protest, which provide inspiration and power and visibility in a very compact way. So that's what's happening in El Dorado Hills.
Greg, you mentioned a little bit about the expected maybe attendance. What is that? The expected attendance for Saturday's
event?
Well,
I believe for No Kings 2, we had just less than 2,000 people. It was very close to 2,000. And that was across 11, I believe, sites, 10 overpasses, and the Placerville Courthouse steps. This year we have 13, including the El Dorado Hills event, which is unique and the first time, so we're really looking forward to that. And then we have 12 others, including the 10 overpasses, the courthouse, and another new one at the Lotus Bridge in Coloma, which it's a beautiful site. If you've ever been, it's right over the American River, and we're real excited. We have so far we have a considerable number of signups for that. I think that's going to go really well too. So we're looking at hopefully record numbers. We're hoping that your listeners will come out strong this Saturday for any one of the 32 events in this Sacramento region, either Sacramento or El Dorado County. And like Gina said, they can do both. They can come to one of the El Dorado events and then head down to Sacramento. I know a lot of our people are going to head down to Sacramento after our events are over. So we're looking forward to the day.
Well, speaking of Sacramento, what will Sacramento's protest look like on Saturday, Ellen?
Okay, so we are meeting at our beautiful California State Capitol. And numbers-wise, in the past two events, we've had between 7,000 and 10,000 people. And what we what it's structured like is that from 11:30 to 1, we have a lot of organizations that are tabling there. We have action zones that are organized by the Coalition Against Project 2025. That'll be, you know, sort of teach-ins on immigration, elections, direct action. But then at 1 o'clock, before our speakers start, we are being joined by the Indivisible YOLO is having an event in West Sacramento and at Riverwalk Park, and then they, along with their co-organizers, the Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, they will be marching over the Tower Bridge to join us at 1, and then when they get there, then our speakers are starting, and they will be bringing a lot of people. So we're expecting this to be our biggest event ever, so we're expecting possibly more than 10,000.
Wow. These protests and actions, I think, are often some of the most visible ways that Indivisible and other organizations look to make their voices heard and engage with the public. But what are some of the other actions that are taking place outside of the protests and like sort of year-round long-term activism that Indivisible might be involved with?
In Sacramento, a lot of what we do and what we will be doing on this upcoming months is around elections. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time training people to go out and canvass for certain candidates. We do a lot of phone banking. There's always specific issues that we're coordinating to get people to, say, talk to their elected officials about, putting pressure on elected officials to vote a certain way. We also spend a lot of time trying to just educate our members about events or issues that are facing us with a speaker series. And we also have, once a month, we're part of a coalition against 2025, against Project 2025, that meet in a more casual way. And they have direct action. You know, they do banner drops, visibility events every week. So a wide variety of things that we're doing.
Yeah. Indivisible got very involved with Prop 50. Mm-hmm. So anything that is giving the voice back to the people is important actions for us. And so we did a big canvas operation for Prop 50, and it was successful, and that was a very worthwhile effort. And again, as Ellen said, anything that puts pressure on our representatives, so engaging in going to their offices with large groups of people, making it visible when they're not being, you know, accountable to the people, those type of things.
Yeah. As we look to close out our conversation here, Greg, you mentioned something along the lines of safety procedures that are in place. I'm curious if you could tell us more for people who might be interested in attending on Saturday, what they might keep in mind safety-wise if they'd like to attend.
Sure. If they're going to be attending one of the events that's going to be held on an overpass, obviously they have to be very careful. They stay on the sidewalk for their own safety, and we don't want to block pedestrian traffic, so we want to make sure we stay out of the way of people that are trying to get from point A to point B. We have captains and hosts and co-hosts at every site that wear orange vests, yellow vests, and they're trained in a lot of this. They're YouTube videos that have come out, as well as live trainings from Indivisible that they have to see and actually watch and learn from in order to be a captain. So we have captains, sometimes multiple captains at most of the events, and they all have vests on and very vocal. We pass out water. So stay hydrated. It's going to be a warm day, probably. It's been warm lately, so be prepared. Wear light clothes. So primarily, the de-escalation things are always on our mind, even though we haven't had to actually use those techniques. But we always have people that are they're well trained in that, and they've been very successful so far. So we're looking for it. Forward to getting as many people out there as we can. And can we say something about how to register for the for the events in El Dorado County? Well, we naturally Indivisible El Dorado has a website, and it's www.indivisibleeldorado.org. And if you go to our website, you'll see a big button for No Kings and about the congressional candidates. We have links to all their sites, and we're putting up a gubernatorial page in the next couple of days as well about all eight Democratic gubernatorial candidates that are running for governor, and also links to some of the forums that they've been involved with. Most of the governor candidates have been involved with. So you've got to stay up to date on this stuff. And most of the people I ask what they think about the gubernatorial race, they always say, I haven't had time to even think about that. You know, that's how overwhelming the world is right now. And there are so many candidates. That's another thing. How can you be expected to learn all about them? But we're going to try to have a one-stop shop so people can go to our website and learn as much as they can about these candidates, because it's an important race.
Yeah. I want to say one thing on the safety and de-escalation and really honor the volunteers, because the way the safety and de-escalation happens is people raise their hand and say, I'll help run that event. I'll train myself with the resources that you give us to stick with the commitment, because there's a real commitment on Indivisible's part to engage in peaceful protest.
Absolutely.
And it's the volunteers that really make that happen. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to honor that the way these rallies are staying safe and peaceful is because people are willing to make that so.
Yeah. I will second that, and they will be safe and nonviolent. There's a deep commitment to nonviolence at these rallies. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say at the Sacramento event, if you want to sign up, go to indivisiblesacramento.com. That's our website. You can find the signups there. And also, please wear a hat, bring sunscreen, keep hydrated. It's going to be hot, and we're going to be out on the concrete, so keep safe.
And we'll have more details on our Insight page. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having us. It's been wonderful.
Greg Bergantz and Gina Abrams are with Indivisible El Dorado, and Ellen Chapman is from Indivisible Sacramento. We've been getting a preview of some of the No Kings protests that are set to take place across the Sacramento region on Saturday as part of a larger nationwide movement. Up next, a volunteer organization has been pulling out millions of pounds of trash and debris from Sacramento waterways since 2023. We'll talk to the founders of the River City Waterway Alliance. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm Andrew Garcia. Back in just a moment.